We were on holidays for a few weeks too, so it was kind of good to come back. Everybody's so refreshed and ready to roll again, right? So, sometimes we ask questions, and we're almost scared to ask those questions because I've been raised in the church, and there's certain questions that you just don't feel comfortable to ask because it's not the right. You shouldn't ask questions in those areas. And I've been asking a lot of questions about prayer. How do you pray? What's an answer to prayer and what's not an answer to prayer? You mean, why do people suffer? We pray and why do people suffer? And why do we have to go through certain things? And to some of you say, well, just stand in faith. I like that answer. It's a good answer. But I want to know. Are we allowed to ask what it's really about? How do I just go my morning devotions? Do I just say, okay, God, here's my list. Can you take care of it today? I mean, we eat at the supper table and, Lord bless this food, be with so-and-so and so-and-so. Thanks for the great day. Thanks for your beautiful creation. Amen. It doesn't seem really exciting. And so I went on a search for, 6 months? The last 6 months, searching out, and I think I've shared it with you a long time ago, that I've been searching out prayer and just asking the Lord. So I'm going to share with you this morning about prayer, a very small portion of what I've been searching, and pray it ministers to you as it's ministered to me, because this is just a personal thing that I've been going through. So as I was asking about prayer, I came across a verse in Matthew 6, verse 7 and 8. It says, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him." Now, most of you who have read this scripture before know that that is ahead of the Lord's Prayer. And right after, the thing that caught me in there is that your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask. Now that's confusing in its own right. So do I need to ask? And it says right after that, in verse 9, it says, in the starting part of verse 9, it says, "After this manner, therefore," and therefore is always there for a reason. It's there because it's enhancing what was stated. It says, "Therefore pray ye." And then it says the Lord's Prayer. So it's saying, the Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. And therefore, what I want you to do is listen to this prayer. This is Jesus telling the people how to pray. Jesus had been with His Father. We're to pray to our Father. And Jesus has been with the Father, and He understood the Father. He understood everything about the Father. And so He says, here's what you pray, because the Father already knows what you have need of. So here's what you pray. So my quest has gone on the path of the Lord's Prayer. Because if how I read this, it is saying that what I have need of is stated in the Lord's Prayer. And so I've went searching and searching for what the Lord's Prayer says. Now, I've got pages and pages and pages of notes. And so I am covering 5%. And I've picked a certain area. So I'm starting with just the first 6 words. And the first word says, our. It says, our Father, which art in heaven. It says, our. And we were away, and you talk about a lot of things. We were with another couple traveling Canada, and you talk about a lot of things, and talk about church, and all the different things, and you hear different people's perspective on how they handle things that irritate them in their church. Many different perspectives. But this word, our, starts this whole prayer. Our's not me, I. It is our. It talks about a family. It talks about a relationship. Our prayer life is part and parcel of us here. This isn't what I'm talking about this morning. It's just I have to get to the part that I want to talk about, so I figured I better go through these few words till I get there. But we have changed in both the business world, the church world, political world. Everything around us has become society orientated. I do a lot of studies on the business world. I read a lot of business books. And in the business world, it's all society related. And I'll explain that in a second. The Lord has based the church and what we are to interact, even business, is based on community. Now, there's a difference between those two words. Society is an organizing of a group. It's structures, systems. And community is connectiveness to each other. It's relationship. And we can sit here as a group and say, when I was a kid, and other than my mom and dad, I think they're the only two that were part of this group. We had a group, and they said, okay, we need the fivefold ministry in our church. So, okay, you seem to be the best at this. You seem to be the best at this. You seem to be the best at this. So they had the fivefold ministry. Said, on remark, get set, go. They didn't say that, but that felt like that was what it was like. And go. They had the structure. They had everything set up in a system. And they said, go. That wasn't what it was. We're sitting here as a group of people, and we need each other. And the starting of prayer is we need each other. Prayer is useless without each other. We need each other. It is our Father. Then he goes on to Father. This intimacy, this Abba, Daddy, Father. And I think of the prodigal son. He had all these lines made up that he was going to tell his dad when he came back. He was actually pretty scared coming back to see his dad because he'd messed up. Would his dad take him back? Even if he could just work as a slave for his dad, as a servant for his dad, he had it all figured out. And the love of his Father threw out all that fear. Scripture says perfect love casts out fear. And our Father's love is intimate. And it casts out all fear. I pray sometimes in fear. But the intimacy of the Father eliminates that. Now, again, both those words, I have pages and pages and pages of studying on both those words. But I didn't want to speak about those two words. I wanted to speak about the next section that says, which art in heaven. One other statement. When we talk about our Father, it talks about this family that we have here. And in families, there's things that happen. We scrap together. We listened to Ralph every once in a while, and they had screaming matches, I guess, who could talk the loudest. And then I think when you were younger, you beat the living crap out of each other if whoever survived at the end was the survivor, and they still survived, obviously. And we all have our scraps that we have together, as families. Yet for some reason in the church, we think there shouldn't be any. We should just get along. If we don't get along, I think I'll go to somewhere else. And our dad says, you know what? I'm your dad. This is an our thing. This is an us thing. This is a we thing. And that's how I want you to come to me in prayer. The unity of the body of believers. Which art in heaven all of a sudden comes thrown in here, and you got this really close, intimate thing, and then it feels like some faraway thing. This kind of confused me at the beginning, because you go from intimacy, closeness, there he is, way up there in heaven. That's what it feels like to me. Why did he say that? Why did he say, which art in heaven, when he's got this close intimacy? Isn't he there with us? Isn't he part of us? Isn't he? I want to know how to pray. I want to know why people suffer. I want to know what's happening. Why when I pray, don't I see this instant result sometimes? What is happening? Don't any of you think about that? Doesn't that bother you? Are we allowed to ask? Are we allowed to even say it to each other? Do I look weaker because I don't have enough faith because I'm asking those questions? We have to be able to ask our Father, because perfect love casts out fear. So in Ephesians 6, verse 12, I started realizing just a glimpse. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's battles going on beyond what we see. Which art in heaven. I started realizing that I needed to have a different perspective. I wanted to base my perspective off earthly things. I want to base it off of, I prayed to get to be able to do well in business. I prayed that this person would get healed. I prayed that this. And I based it off an earthly perspective. And there's much more going on in the heavenly perspective. There's battles going on. There's things going on. There's much more going on in the heavenly perspective. I need to think differently in my perspective. So I come to the Lord and I ask, I said, God, change my perspective. Change my eyes so I can see what you're calling me to. When I'm praying, change my eyes so I can see what battles are being won. Because I'm choosing to see what I want to see. I don't know if you grasp where I'm coming from, but I'll carry on here. In Hebrews 12, verse 2 and 3, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he saw something ahead of him. He looked to a different perspective than what we would look at. endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in mind. I'll be honest with you, I was getting tired in my mind. Because when we look at an earthly perspective, Jesus said, he made it really clear, there's some of you that are tired. Your mind is tired. You're praying for things, or maybe you've come to the point where you're not even praying for them anymore. You just wish it would happen. There's a time when you don't even pray for it anymore. You give up. And you say, do you know what? My mind is tired. Jesus said, I want you to watch me. He said, he gave us a couple things here. He says, first of all, let me be your example, looking unto Jesus. And he says, look what Jesus did. He looked beyond. He looked to that heavenly realm, which art in heaven. He looked to the heavenly realm, and what did he see? He saw joy. How did he see joy? How did he see joy? How could he look past what his situation was? And I mean this, like, this is what I'm battling with, and I'm saying to you, how do you see joy past the irritating person that works beside you? How do you see joy past that? How do you see joy when you're physically and totally exhausted? How do you see joy when you're not happy with what you're doing? How do you see joy in that situation? Jesus said right away, he said, I looked beyond. I looked to a heavenly realm. There's a story in 2 Kings, and I'll kind of tell you the story a little bit so you have a bit of an understanding, and then I'll read a scripture from it. The Syrians were fighting with the Israelis. Not an uncommon statement. So the Syrian king, they had a pretty strong army. The Israeli king was a little bit scared of the Syrian king. And the Syrian king would set up ambush spots where he would nail the Israelis. Every time he set up an ambush spot, Elisha, the prophet of that day, would come in, tell the Israeli king, hey, the Syrian king is going to be over here. The Syrian king hadn't even moved there yet. This was a prophetic word. He said, the Syrian king is going to be over here. So don't go there. So he wouldn't go there. This happened over and over and over again. Finally, you can imagine the Syrian king's ticked right off, doesn't know what's happening, so he figures, and rightfully so, that there's somebody in his own army that's telling on him. So he goes through his ranks and says, okay, there's somebody that is a fink in my group. I know that there's somebody in this group because there's no way. I can understand once the Israeli king knowing where we are. I can understand maybe twice, but this has been happening way too many times. We've got a snitch in our group. Well, a couple of the Syrian people knew what was going on, and they come to the Syrian king and says, look, here's the scoop. They got a prophet in their group. The Israelis got a prophet in their group. This guy, their God, seems to be telling them where you're going to be. He says, well, Syrian king says, well, that's pretty straightforward then. We're going to go blow him up. He didn't say it quite that way, but we're going to take him out. So he says, where is he? He says, well, he's in this city called Dothan. He says, we'll go to Dothan then, or Dothan, whatever it is, and we're going to ambush that city. So they surround the whole city. He's got a great big army. They surround the whole city. They're going for one guy. They surround the whole city for this one guy, and they're sitting there at night ready to roll. And in 2 Kings 6, verse 15 to 17, is where we're at. So Elisha has this guy that helps him out, servant helper that helps him out. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horse and chariots. So this is the Syrian group that's all around the city. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" What the heck are we going to do? We're screwed. That's not the right word. But anyways. And he answered, "Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." At this point in time, the servant kid is saying to Elisha, "You are nuts. I see what we are. I see what they are. There's no chance there's more of us than them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." In other words, he said, "I pray that you would open his eyes to see the heavenly realm." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Did other people see that? There might have been people there praying. Did they necessarily see it? So this group of Syrian army come down into Dothan, and they come up to Elisha, but they're blinded. They don't see the real situation in front of them. And they ask Elisha where this Elisha guy is. And Elisha says, "Oh, you got to go over to here." And what he did is he walked them. He told them basically to walk right in to the army camp of the Israelis. They walked right in, blinded, didn't understand what they were doing. And my guess is that they weren't necessarily blinded because they had the ability to ask. Otherwise, they would have been scared. They were blinded to see the enemy. They walked right into the Israeli camp. The Israeli king is so confused. He says, "What the heck, Elisha, am I supposed to do? I got all this enemy here. I could just kill them all if I wanted to, because they're sitting here just acting like I'm their friend." The Syrians' eyes are opened up. Holy smokes. They just about crap themselves. They're sitting there. They all of a sudden have got this whole thing right in front of them. "What am I supposed to do?" And Elisha said, "Feed them." And he gave them the wildest spread of food, fed them, and sent them on their way. Syrians never bothered them again. How did the Lord answer prayer? He had Elisha and his servant see the heavenly realm. He saw beyond what the earthly perspective was. In the earthly perspective, Elisha was done. In the earthly perspective, Elisha, if he was praying for to heal a sickness, he was sicker than ever. If he was praying for a family relationship, the relationship had gone south really bad. If he was praying for a job situation, the job had got worse than ever before. If he was praying for that person that irritated him at work, they got more irritating. "Open my eyes, Lord, so that I can see." What's prayer about? Is prayer about my want list? Is prayer about making things better for me? Or is prayer about open my eyes to see the heavenly perspective? Our Father, together we're standing in this intimate relationship with our Dad, which art in heaven. Am I willing to call out and beg to see the heavenly perspective? The heavenly perspective totally obliterates a person standing up here that couldn't speak worth a toot, and allows you to see the heart of God as that person speaks. There's people right now that run from church to church to find a better speaker. There's people that run from church to church to find a better singing worship team. There's people that run from church to church to find a better program. Do you know what? I'll tell you what. The ultimate program you could ever ask for is to see the heavenly perspective. What ends up happening? Your situation becomes secondary. It's just a venue to allow you to see the power of God in action. So you want to see okay, I'm a businessman. I want to see the bottom line. Sorry, it's a fact of life. Good bottom line makes me smile. Not going to say anything different. It's a good thing. We're in an economic downturn. I would like to see a better bottom line. Do you know what? I had a few months ago, and I said, God, I really am confused. It was supposed to be a good month, and we blew it. And I said, Lord, help me see the heavenly perspective. It wasn't even hard. It was sitting right in front of me. The next Sunday, I went to the Pentecostal church in Dunville because I went and saw one of my employees that's worked for me for 10 years, accepted the Lord, and got baptized. I saw the heavenly perspective. She sent a letter to Arda, said, thank you for putting up with me while God was doing a work in me. Who cares about the earthly perspective when there's a... Now that seems... You say, well, you should have seen that in the first place. Pretty well, we all should see that crap in the first place. We don't. Because we're so hung up about our earthly perspective that we don't see it. While I was there, I looked across. A guy that came to work for us had said, you know what? He was on the verge of bankruptcy. Good mechanic. He says, my dream is just to get down to having just a mortgage payment. Get all these debts paid off, then I'll be happy. Last November, he got all those debts paid off. He's worked for us for a few years now. And he says, I'm still not happy. In that same service, I saw that guy and his wife sitting there. Every Sunday, he's in church now. Now, that seems really obvious, but do you realize those relationships you're praying for, those people that irritate you, that financial situation that you're in, that this church, the people that irritate you here, doesn't matter, whatever it is, the health situations, the job situation, all the different things that you're in, there is a heavenly perspective, and we need to pray, open our eyes, dear Lord, so we can see that heavenly perspective. Our Father, which art in heaven. I'm only talking six words of this whole prayer, and he says, I know what you have need of already before you ask. What you have need of? The first thing I realized was I need you. The second thing I realized was the intimacy of my Father. And the third thing I realized is I needed to take my stinking eyes off this earth and realize there's a heavenly perspective. I haven't even started. Can you imagine? You sit down and you ask God and say, God, I don't understand prayer. I don't like to see my dad suffer. But I'll tell you, there's the most heavenly perspective
I have the most godly parents in the world. And I know there's a heavenly perspective for them to see. And I know I can see it too. I ask God, why? I can live without money. I don't want to see people suffer. Are you willing to look to the heavenly perspective? I know some of you are suffering right now, whatever area it is. And I'm telling you that He knows what you have need of before you even ask. He knows right now what your needs are. He's got the answer to your needs right now. Can you see? Can you look up to those mountains and see the enemy, but look to the heavenly perspective and see His armies much greater? He has the answer already in place for you. In Colossians 1, when we see that heavenly perspective, all of a sudden, there's hope. There's not hope when we see the earthly perspective. It is hopeless. Colossians 1, verses 5 and 6, it says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." You ever read that before? There's hope laid up for you in heaven. So everybody says, okay, when I die, I have hope. No. Today you have hope as you look to that heavenly perspective. "Where have you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit?" I saw fruit. I see fruit when I see the heavenly perspective. I see the fruit producing. Elisha and his servant could have ran like the dickens. And they may have outrun him. Said, wow, God answered our prayer. Very viable statement. We ran fast enough. He gave us feet like hinds' feet. And so we were able to run as a deer, and we were able to go and everything else, and we got away. And so, praise the Lord, let's have a worship service because we were able to get away. Meanwhile, that would be the earthly perspective answer. But there was hope when he stood ground and saw the armies of the Lord taking care of him. "As it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth." So it's hope, this heavenly perspective. So I'm talking like this and you're sitting there and say, that's all fine and dandy, John, but I don't see the heavenly perspective. That's nice to say, you know, when you walk in on a Sunday morning and see one of your employees, and that's all fine and dandy, but I just don't see it. How do we see this heavenly realm? And in John 16, verses 14 and 15, and this is speaking of the Holy Spirit, it says, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." This is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. "And he shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." In other words, the Holy Spirit has been given to us to show us what Jesus has that's been given to him from the Father. I said, but I don't quite comprehend that Holy Spirit thing. Well, the Holy Spirit has many different descriptive words to describe the Holy Spirit. He's our teacher. He guides us, directs us. But he makes alive the Word of God. He teaches us the Word of God. I can't emphasize, and I know every time I stand up here, and I can't emphasize this more and to you, it is so important that you get into the Word of God in humility. My worst part, my hardest point of seeing a heavenly realm is my strongest point I have physically. I'm pretty good with money, and I've done pretty well with money. Even if we have a tough time, we're pretty decent with money. That's my hardest point to see the heavenly realm. I'll be honest with you. Because I think I got it figured out. Oh, okay, well, if this happens, then I've got to do this, this, and this. I've experienced a lot of things financially, so I got to figure it out. If I'm healthy, totally physically healthy, I mean, I like running, I mean, I can run away from Arda when she chases me. I can do all the good things that are, she can't run as fast as me, so I can chase her. No. So I've got all that strength. It's an area where I can point fingers at somebody else. And I can just see the earthly perspective. We need to submit and come in humility to the Lord and allow Him to speak to us through His Word. It's as simple as that. I can't, if you don't understand this Holy Spirit thing, and I say it as a loose term, I'm not trying to belittle that, but I don't want people to say, you know what, those people all understand the Holy Spirit so much better. I'm going to tell you, ask and you receive. And the asking starts in here. It starts in here. Because He's a teacher of this. I ask. I don't understand prayer. I don't like the fact that I'm not seeing answers. I'm sorry. So I went into here and it exploded. It honestly exploded. I didn't see the chariots up on the hill that were trying to attack me anymore. I saw the chariots of the Lord. Because this exploded. But you know what? If this is in this format, it doesn't do much. If it's in this format, it seems to do a lot more. Red leather doesn't help you. Black and white writing does. It's pretty straightforward. If you're young, if you're old, you never know enough. Because today, He needs to show you what you're going through. One of the biggest encouragements when I come in and see my mom and dad and they're reading the Word together and they're crying together because how great the Word is. It's expounding to them because the Holy Spirit is ministering to them in that Word. Do you know what? That ministers to me. Do you understand? That is the Holy Spirit wanting to take your eyes off this earthly realm and take it up to the heavenly realm. He knows what your need is, but He can't do it if you do become so stinking stubborn and not allow Him to do it with you. To do it for you, sorry. Why does He want you to see that heavenly perspective? There's only one reason He wants you to see that heavenly perspective. It's not to blow the Syrians apart. It's not to even have the Syrians at peace with you. That has nothing to do with it. Do you know what? Those are just circumstances that happened. It's not to give you a peace. It's not to give you the healing. Believe it or not, none of those things are the issue. It's all about Him. In John 14, verse 13, "And whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." There's no other purpose. It is not that my bottom line will be better at the end of the month. Are there byproducts to this whole thing? I think so. I think there's great byproducts, but the main issue, you don't focus on the byproduct, you focus on the main issue. The main issue is that the Father may be glorified. Do you know what? I've taken 6 words out of a prayer that states in that prayer, our answers are already answered for our prayer. 6 words out of, I counted quickly this morning, I think there's 65 words, but if I'm wrong, it might be 66, I'm not sure. But anyways, so I'm taking 6 words, and even of those 6 words, I've only taken 3 words really to talk about. Lord, open my eyes to see your heavenly perspective. It's not about me. It's not about I. It's about we. It's about glorifying him. And it's about asking him to open our eyes. And the asking, if you go back to some of the scriptures that I read before, it goes back that those things happen through the word. And Elisha, he was so in tune, he prayed for his servant to open his eyes. I want to tell you, even I traveled across Canada, and there's a lot of beauty in Canada. It just, like, knocks the breath out of you when you look at some of the absolute beauty in Canada. That same knock the breath out of you beauty that you see there is even more miraculous when you see the heavenly realm. Flip from the red leather edition to the black and white edition, and it's amazing how the Holy Spirit will open up. Just call out and say, Holy Spirit, I don't know how you do this. I heard rumor at church on Sunday that there's something about you teaching me when I get into this. I'm coming here now and I want to know what it's all about. Open it. Every day, twice a day, 3 times a day. I don't care if it's 1 hour, 2 hours. If it's 10 minutes, fine. I'm not going to put limits on it. Because once the Holy Spirit goes at you, it's pretty miraculous. You're in the downest of downers, don't close this book. And say, Lord, open my eyes so that I may see. I've emphasized it enough, and I just wanted to get one. You know what? I've got a book at home, one of those dual tang binder things, and I keep writing every time I see something else from the Lord's Prayer. I think you could write a book this thick just about the Lord's Prayer. Because once you start realizing that it is the answer to all the prayers that I have, the questions that I have, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible because he knows what you need before you even start. All you need to have your eyes open right now. I'm done. But I want us. Can you stand up? Get you out of your comfort zone here. I want you to put your. Everybody have somebody have a hand on the shoulder of somebody else. So turn around. Make sure that there's somebody you're putting hand on. If you're just by yourselves there, put each other's hands on or whatever. Even if you're not super comfortable with saying the words that I'm saying, I want you to pray for those people beside you that the Lord will open their eyes to see the heavenly realm. Do you know what? Elijah prayed. Just like that, his servant saw the heavenly realm. And a piece of history was changed because of that. So pray after me. Dear Father, we love you. We pray that you would open the eyes of this person we're laying hands on. Enlighten the heavenly realm. Enlighten your beauty. We call out to you, Lord, that we would know you in that way. We thank you, and we give you the glory, for that is who we want to glorify. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray as you go out this week that you would partake of the Holy Spirit heavenly realm. And that's in this black and white section of the Bible. Thank you.